Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 53. Tonight, we chat about technology, Halloween, and putty. And there really is only one man on the planet who can speak on each topic with equal expertise and aplomb. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome back Crazy Aaron from Crazy Aaron's Putty World.
Hello, Used Wigs audience.
Number three, right? Third time.
This is number three. It's an honor to have been asked back three times. I didn't wear out my welcome yet.
Once, yet. Twice, three times, a putty guy.
He's like the Terry Garr of Used Wigs Radio.
Wow, Terry Garr. Huh? You made a reference that even I'm like, what, Terry Garr?
Like, remember she was always on Letterman if someone backed out in the last all through the 80s?
Because she probably lived like
a
in the apartment
away.
Building a block away, and you know what? You know she hasn't held up well.
No,
she was barely. She didn't start out well.
No, she had
it's
that
true.
Big face that looked like at any moment it would collapse on itself. Like there wasn't enough infrastructure for the face. It was so big and weighty. Terry Garr, everybody. For no reason, we're busting on Terry Garr.
It's about time someone took a stand on Terry Garr, right?
This podcast is taking a real stand.
She's got a free ride for too long.
Four guys busting on a septuagenarian actress who was nothing but nice to the world. There we go. Like I said in the intro, we're going to be talking about, of course, putty. Aaron, I believe you have some new putty.
Well, I did have some new putty. We threw out some, we called it Hellfire.
What happened to Hellfire?
It's all sold.
All right.
So you didn't bring any to show us?
I have a little tiny piece that's left.
Sold it. That very
See,
quickly.
What happened? There was this specialty chemical that enables the glow red. So the putty is white, and then it glows this like fiery, evil red color after, you know, if you turn down the lights or whatever. But it was very expensive, and they decided to stop making it because it was so expensive that nobody was buying it.
The chemical itself?
The chemical itself. Yeah. So...
Plutonium.
You know, then I got the memo because in the industry, they know I'm always interested in weird stuff.
I would love to see the industry together, the industry, Aaron and all these chemical guys to get together.
In the pigment and specialty chemical industry, I get lots of emails from things that are, oh, we just uncovered something in the warehouse, and we know that nobody else in the world would want this except for you. And so I got, you know, what was left, which was not a lot. It was just enough to make 100 cans of this glow red, and so we put it up on the website.
Could you put that on anything? Like, could you use it to silk screen a shirt? And
yeah, you could make screenings
or like freezy freakies.
Yeah, you come over to my lab. We'll
really
we'll play. Absolutely, huh. We can make stuff
so,
into screenings.
Wow.
So wait, so when you make a special putty like that, do you hang on to a tin for yourself, like a posterity tin, or do you sell it all?
I usually hang on to a tin for myself.
Yeah.
But there was a little mix-up, and someone, like, we sold 101 of them, right, instead of 100. So instead of calling someone and telling them, you're not getting it,
right?
You know, I gave them
They would have been
mine.
Crushed.
Wow.
Right. Well, it sold out in less than an hour.
Really?
Because you actually don't strike me as a posterity kind of guy. Like you strike me as, like, yeah, just
move it on.
Keep it on.
You know, it's important to always keep in a lab to keep samples, hold back samples. If there's a problem, you can always go back to your sample.
So where did the little bit come from? Did every can get a little less putty?
No, actually, this was the piece I made in my lab.
Oh, this is the original?
Work.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So it says on the prototype glow red.
Wow.
On the can there. And it is pretty cool.
Can we bust it out? Yeah, let's
see this. How do you sell out in an hour? Do you have people waiting by the computer for you to post it?
I sent out an email.
Uh-huh.
We turned down the, is that switch?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah, this one.
That is really cool.
It looks like E.T.'s heart light.
Aw, it really
does. Doesn't it?
So that's the Hellfire?
That's the Hellfire.
Really that's still a pretty decent size piece.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not quite a full can, but it definitely glows.
So what are you doing to make it glow there?
This is a black light keychain.
Black light keychain.
And what you want to do with this keychain is press the button, hold it down, and just hold it right up to your eye and don't blink.
No? Kids out there.
Exactly. But yeah, so you can see.
Wow.
It's definitely
pretty
a red
impressive
glow, and it goes from the white to red, so it's pretty fun.
Cool.
And anyway, it's all gone. So if you want it,
did you have to sell it for a lot more, like the gold putty?
I did, not that much more. We sold it for $12 instead okay. of we would sell it for $10. I didn't want to, you know, yeah. rip people off.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it was so popular. I will request. Maybe they'll make me a special batch. You know, if I buy it ahead of time, maybe they'll do a run.
Right.
Because I think.
And like Colonel people would Sanders, really like it. There's secret ingredients that you won't give out. Like you could say it's made with a couple things, but you're not going to give out because then the home putty enthusiasts will be making their own.
That's right. But you know, as per the code of the Ferengi Alliance, which is all safe for human. That is right. So no matter what I put in it, all safe for human. Nice.
Couldn't you make the? Could you make the chemical that glows red?
No, I don't have that capability.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I it would require purchasing lots of expensive.
You could do
equipment.
Anything, Aaron. I feel like if somebody can do it, you can figure it out.
Right. You know, in his basement, he's like grafting animals together.
I know. If somebody called me and said, I need to make something glow red, I would call Aaron.
Right.
And if he can't do it, then I don't know.
No, something along the lines of,
out of ideas.
When the 12 monkeys apocalypse happens, it's going to be an Aaron's basement. Strange animals will be infected, a couple more, and then they'll be overrun.
They don't have to worry about that big giant proton accelerator starting up the black hole, because he's probably exactly. already got one in a little plastic safe.
But there is a glow product, because Halloween is coming, right?
Yes.
That you can buy. It is not mine, but it is awesome. So I'm going to give it a plug ahead of time.
Yeah,
is that
definitely.
All right? This is glow-in-the-dark hair gel. What? Right? Unlike lame glow-in-the-dark hair gel, where it glows for like 4 seconds, this is basically the contents of a glowing light, like a glow stick.
Yes.
Made into a hair gel.
Uh-huh.
So when you put it in, your hair will glow for like 12 hours.
Wow.
And so it's very cool. And if you look for glow-in-the-dark hair gel, you will find it.
So who makes it?
In different colors. MG Technologies, LLC.
Nice.
All right.
Will your daughters be having bright red and bright green hair this
yes.
morning?
Yes. They love it.
Is that safe for body hair as well as...
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's just
Todd and his glowing pits of doom.
a glowing gorilla.
Non-toxic is what it says.
All right,
but, anyway, you'll love it. Man. So go out and get some before Halloween, and you will impress your friends. You can put it on your skin. You can do anything. It's great.
We'll put a link on the website.
That seems like the perfect rave. Although, I don't know. Do the kids still have
Sorry,
raves
Todd.
Nowadays?
Do they rave?
You know what? Meet me Friday night at this rave. It'll be great. Speaking of raves, people, a rave is made up of music, and we will now play some music. I'm going to play for you a little song by a band I just discovered. And when I say I love them, I mean I really, really love them. This is off their CD called Linden Calling. This is Stuyvesant with Victorian Lawns. Come around and find the party games begin at nine. Romeo, my friends.
Party on my lawn, party on my lawn, I'm
people. That was Stuyvesant out of Hoboken, New Jersey, with their song Victorian Lawns off the CD Linden Calling. I'm guessing that has something to do with Linden, New Jersey, maybe. You can check out Stuyvesant on www.stuyvesantrock.com. And I discovered those guys, our friend Dave Hill, very funny man in New York, comedian. Also in the band, Valley Lodge sent out his email. So they were playing with these guys, and it's one of those things where you're like, eh, let me see who else is on the bill. And, you know, if these guys are good, then maybe the other people on the bill are good. Check them out. I listened to the album, Russ and Todd, and it brought me back to this music that I deeply loved from, like, the late 80s, early 90s. Just good power pop punk rock, like Big Drill Car, The Doughboys, All... Chemical People, like
all of Todd's favorites.
All of Todd's favorites. So Todd, I just wanted to describe their music to you using less obscure bands. There we go. So much enjoy. But people definitely check out Linden Calling. If you like Ted Leo, other bands like that, you'll dig Stuyvesant.
What's Aaron fiddling?
Watching this guy.
He's talking.
What are you doing?
Is that a stereoscope? Is that what that is?
We're at the Smithsonian.
This is a 3D viewing device.
Let's see.
Isn't that called a stereoscope? Right, with it's like a ViewMaster.
Stereoscope. It's very much like a ViewMaster. The difference is,
awesome.
You got to come over. Look at me.
Yeah.
There you go. Nah, there you go.
Now, and the way that's done, do you have a stereo camera?
I do.
Oh, indeed, that's awesome.
Which I have right here.
Uh huh.
For you guys.
And the way it works is, it takes two photographs, eye distance apart.
Right.
And then when you view them, you look at one in each eye.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God! Aaron just busted out a old.
This is great.
Like
thing's Russian.
Check
Russian
this out.
Camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
So I guess this is going to be our Russian show.
Yeah, this is.
It's pretty incredible.
What kind of camera would you call this?
Oh man,
this is a Sputnik camera.
Is it really a Sputnik?
It's a
camera?
That's what it says in the Cyrillic lettering there.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Sputnik, and it. You can see it has the lenses side by side.
Yep, there's pretty one amazing. Lens, two lenses right next to each other. Looks like three.
Whose car is this? Yeah.
They must make a more modern stereo camera than that, though, right?
They do. There's a company in China called 3D World that makes one. But the difference is that the 3D World one is almost $2,000, and that one is like $100. So, big difference.
I don't even want to touch that. In addition to...
I love that there's a level on it.
That was my own modification.
Oh, was it? Just to make sure.
Aaron, in addition to viewing it with the contraption that looks like a ViewMaster, which is basically the same concept, mm-hmm. you can also take those two photos and even just post them on a website and encourage viewers to look at it and cross their eyes where the images would converge, and it would look 3D.
You could. It would look 3D. There obviously are limitations to looking at it on the screen, you know, in terms of how immersive it is. This viewer that you see here is more...
Right. And I would assume that the 3D would have to be... less subtle for it to work if you're crossing your eyes.
That's right. It has to be much more in your face, like someone throwing something at the camera or reaching towards the lens. But
how do you get this film developed?
I develop it.
Oh, okay.
It's color slide film, and it's, you know, when it was designed in the 60s, it was designed for people to be able to do in their basements. So
I wonder why that didn't catch on.
It's finicky.
Yeah.
That's why. You know, there's always lots of little gotchas. You can't just click, 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 and expect to get good results, which is kind of a pain.
Right.
But I'm willing to put up with it. I think the results are pretty...
What do you like to... Like, what do you like to shoot with that? Like, what is it good for? I mean, like, action photography, soccer games?
You can do all kinds of landscapes. I like to do crowd shots. I have a couple shots from Boston Commons. And, you know, just all the people are kind of frozen in time, but they really look like you could reach out and touch them.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, cool.
So that's pretty neat stuff.
So is this viewfinder really the only device we can use to really see the optimized...
You could even just have, like, a stick separating them, and you would just hold it in your eye?
You'd need the lenses to make the image come into your eye properly.
Yeah.
If you had it pre-printed and I brought a book, because the interesting thing is, photography, when it was first invented in the, you know, middle 1900s, the first thing people did was take a left eye and a right eye picture and put it on a print and make what they called a stereogram.
Right.
Right. And then only, you know, at the turn of the century did it become that a 2D image was the proper way to look at an image. Mm. You know, it was felt for 50 years that a single print was like a lesser representation of reality. But today, you don't see a lot of people going around taking 3D pictures.
Huh.
And
it is interesting.
It's interesting. And so, anyway, 3D is definitely coming back. in the movies.
Yes.
Because they're getting a lot of competition from obviously cable and HD, and
so they have to step it up with some new.
And it used to be very finicky, but now they're finally reaching a point where they can do two things: they can turn old movies into 3D. Right? There's some rumors about Star Wars being re-released in
3D. Of course.
And the way they do that,
you
is,
know,
of course,
Lucas isn't going to leave a nickel in inside that sofa cushion.
Absolutely. And the way that's done is. You know, artists sit there and frame by frame slice each frame into layers and then recreate a left and a right version.
Wow.
It's a lot of work, but there's some automation the computer can do. But and the other way is, you know, two cameras side by side like they did with the Hannah Montana movie, which all of you guys, I know you were there at the concert.
Actually, I saw you two 3D at IMAX.
And what did you think?
And it was astounding. It really was. It really was.
Better than Captain EO?
Well, I can't
speak to that. Or similar. Probably equal to
Now, you noticed when you saw the U2 movie, if you shifted your head from side to side, I don't know if you noticed, the image kind of gets foggy and ghosty.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's some new technology that doesn't happen, right? That's part of the finickiness, right? You tilt. You're watching a movie. You're not allowed to tilt your
head.
The
reason is because it's the things are sliced up into vertical and horizontal lines. And if you turn your head diagonally, then you're blocking out.
You're getting half of
both. So there's newer technology even since then? Because that was only like last year.
There's new projectors and new technology coming out that allows for, you know, with those same kinds of glasses, you know, just kind of like the plastic shades. But you can turn your head back and forth. The resolution of the image is much higher. The frame rate is much higher.
Well,
it's going to be phenomenal.
Did you have to wear glasses?
Yes.
Will 3D movies ever get to the point where you don't need to have anything? Like the user doesn't need to have glasses? Because that's
maybe.
They weren't the red and the blue. You know, it was just was just like this. They're like
just
sunglasses looking things. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I still think that's, you know, they got to figure that part out to make me happy.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to ever have to be inconvenienced by wearing like. Somebody's
you can get 3D contact lenses.
No, they're one-time use. You don't have to wear anybody else's.
Oh, okay.
You get to keep them. You throw them away at the end.
If you're blind in one eye,
yes,
you cannot enjoy three-dimensional things.
Well, you wouldn't enjoy it any more than a two-dimensional. Right? Yeah. But in your mind's eye, you probably see
Although you don't see regular life in 3D.
There we go, kids. Let's take a little break right now. We learned about a different type of photography. Aaron is knee-deep in a old time photography book right there, and while we're gonna continue our photography and technology conversation, we will play something by Russ picked out. Russ,
yeah, this is a band called Tilly and the Wall, and they're from Omaha, Nebraska, and a very, very cool band. In fact, it was almost impossible to pick for one song to rise up to the top of this, because their new album O is fantastic, and they do not have a drummer. They have a tap dancer instead of a drummer, and it is very cool. So this is
On every song it's a tap dancer.
Yes, on every song.
I don't know about that.
No, wait till you hear this.
It's a shtick.
You know what though? It sounds like shtick, but it is really cool. Aaron, see for yourself. This song is Cacophony.
All right.
Oh come on, please, from the sky. Oh.
Laying underneath
Tilly in the Wall with Cacophony.
Taptastic.
And don't you think that's pretty cool?
It was a good song.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have a whole album of tap dancing instead of drums.
If somebody didn't tell you that it was tap dancing, I don't think you would know. Because to me...
I think I know tap dancing, Ross.
I would think it was a mini person standing on a drum.
No, because I think it sounds like...
Halloween.
I think
it's Glover.
Nice. You know, I think it sounds like the Go Team. I think it sounds like people clapping and doing stuff like that. And actually, my wife, who is a fantastic tap dancer, tells me that it sounds more like clogging. Or clog dancing than tapping.
Yeah,
but I think in some songs, I think it's more tap than clog. So there you go.
Well, people, we discussed some old-timey technology. Now I think it's time to discuss some new-timey technology. Today, of course, you can't go a month without old skinny Steve Jobs hopping up on stage and trying to sell you more cool Mac stuff. And he debuted a bunch of new MacBooks 2008. And people are going ape crap over it, of course, because it's just awesome and they want to, you know.
Long overdue, by the way.
What, the new?
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time a MacBook came out?
Like 81, I think. It's called Newton.
Newton, okay.
Uh-huh. Don't knock the Newton.
It has been a long time that people have been waiting for this for.
Do you still use your
years.
Newton?
Only to play Solitaire.
Okay, yeah. So I know you have one. The new thing, I guess, that everybody's going crazy about is the new glass trackpad that replaces... there's no button. There's no... See this right here?
It's a glass?
The whole touch area is this glass that you can just...
It's like the touch screen, except without the screen.
That's exactly what it is.
Ah.
So you tap and go.
Yeah, it's
so wait, so what happened? You hover your finger above it to move the arrow and then you press it to...
I don't, like, you know how, Russ, you were using your iPhone?
Yeah, but the iPhones get all smeary, so it would be the same thing with that, I guess, huh?
It says smeary-free. No, I don't know. Well, that's what people are going to... It's just glass. You gently rub your finger on it to go, and then when you want to do something, you just gently depress.
Yeah, I think if Steve Jobs made it, you're not allowed to... say bad things about it.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but, like, you know, iPhones get, like,
smeary.
Smeary.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
Well, how do you clean an iPhone?
They come with a microfiber cloth.
That's right, but I don't use that. I just use my shirt.
Yeah, you left it in the box.
I did leave it in the box. Do you have an iPhone?
You and 99% of the other iPhone users.
Yeah, because, like, where am I going to put that?
At your eye chamois.
Yeah, where am I going to put it?
In your eye lapel.
It might be a bag. It might be, like, a little... It might be a bag you can put it in.
One of my questions. My questions are a threefold question here with the iPhone. First of all, how much would you pay for a laptop? Because, you know, Mac still, the number one thing is they're great, they look great, but they're still, compared to PCs, horribly overpriced.
Okay, so is there a price for that new one?
Yeah, I think the new 13-inch or 15-inch.
Because we should all answer that question first.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that paying more than $1,000 for a laptop is asinine.
Okay.
I think that you get what you pay for.
Wow, and
so you would pay more.
We absolutely make money, though. I mean, really? I make money with the computer, so I don't have a problem justifying a price of computer technology.
I you know, people still call me to support their computers and their houses and their laptops, and they call me when they have a problem.
Right.
And the number of questions, and I know a lot of people, they have Macs, and I don't get any phone calls from them.
Wow.
The phone calls I get are from the people who bought the $399 laptop that was on a promotion at Best Buy. That works for 6 months, and then the screen goes on the fritz, or on and on and on.
Well, I'm not advocating that, but I think, I don't know, man. Like $1,000, that's a big chunk of change. You should be able to get a nice piece of technology.
5 years ago, a laptop was $2,500 or $3,000.
Yeah,
and 10 years ago, you'd have to actually buy a guy to sit there who knew a lot of stuff. You'd have to ask him questions.
Be an alien from Mars.
Now then, I suppose the usual amenities are in order. I am the Great Gazoo.
They're offering one for $999. Just to get it under the $1,000 barrier, but I'm sure it's a budget machine and you wouldn't want it.
It's one of the new ones?
They're offering one of their standard ones for $999, but one of these new jammies with the, you know, the new glass trackpad and the new giant display so they can see everything.
Speaking of awesome displays, has anyone been to the Comcast Experience?
What's the Comcast Experience?
The Comcast Experience is the $25 million piece of public art in the new Comcast building in Philadelphia.
$25 million, did you
say? Yeah, about 20. The price has not been disclosed, but it's probably about $20-25 million plus significant operating expense.
I've not heard of this.
The Comcast Experience, it needs to be seen to be really conceived, but the entire wall of the lobby that leads to the elevator bays for the high rise is a gigantic screen. It's not square.
Right.
So the portholes where you walk, but the sides are part of the screen. And the screen plays a continuous and ever-changing loop, kind of like a screensaver. Sometimes it is just looks like wood paneling, like the rest of the lobby, and you honestly couldn't even tell that it's a screen. It is perfecto.
Really?
It has ambient lighting sensors that adjust the brightness. You were talking about the brightness.
Yeah.
Depending on how much light is coming into the lobby.
So you would highly recommend it.
People will come walking out, you know, 20 feet above, life size, looking real, doing dances and all kinds of things.
Well, this is right in their lobby?
This is right in the lobby. This is public. You just walk right in. There's a food court down below.
This is probably the future of our homes, too, right?
It is.
I mean, we will have wallpaper made of this, and then...
That's why this is the future.
As an artist, I think, like, selling an individual painting is probably... I mean, that probably will in our lifetime, cease... And instead, I will sell my images as an artist to, like, a place that you subscribe to, like cable television or like satellite radio, and you by the press of a button, you had the Todd Marone collection, and there would be paintings all over.
Absolutely.
And you can color coordinate it, or you can do it by season, you can do it by mood, right? Mm-hmm. And then,
right.
I would imagine.
You can upload it to your boxer shorts.
We've reached a point where, in terms of art, the print arts, you know, the mass-produced product is technically superior to the artisan-produced product in a dark room or, you know, a painting. The computer can more accurately represent what that is. So that's going to change things.
Like people have, just on a simplistic level, the little digital frames where you look like 500 photos, and now they have Wi-Fi. So if you're on your computer, you upload, you know, your digital camera photos, you're like, all right, send these to my digital frame.
Don't
so
you think?
So
for $3 a month, even if you didn't have wallpaper covering your entire wall, but you had 10 of those frames hanging there that were connected to the internet, for $3 to $4 a month, you have a service that offers the masters and the classics and cutting edge stuff and modern artists, and you know you dial in what you want, mm-hmm. and boom, all your house has this color. It's color coordinated. Or
there's no way in hell it's $4 a month.
No,
I can tell you for sure.
I'm thinking $100 a month.
Yeah, probably.
You know.
I know. I bet the technology to actually have the screens everywhere costs a lot. But don't you think the subscription service would cost?
Nobody is going. Look at a freaking iPhone. You pay $200 or $400 to get an iPhone.
The bigger
and
the market,
it costs you $100
gets,
a month to use the stupid thing.
Does it cost $100?
What does satellite radio cost?
It's $100 a month.
Basically,
$12.95 a month.
The bigger the market, the lower the price. When the screens cost something that to outfit a house with an installation costs $50,000. The subscription is going to be aimed at people who can afford $50,000. When it, you know, $1,000 to outfit a house, the subscription will be aimed at, you know, regular people who can just add it to their monthly
spending. iPhone ends up being, I mean, basically, in order for it to even be useful, you have to have the unlimited data plan, which is $30 a month. The phone by itself is like $50 for just the basic phone plan or whatever it is. So then it's $30 for the data plan. And then if...
Taxes, fees,
and all that kind of stuff. And if you text, which, you know, it's funny because I'm like, I don't use text, but everybody is going that way now. So even if I don't want to, I keep getting pulled into text conversations. And if you do more than, 30 or so a month, it makes sense to have a plan. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Because I just said it makes sense to have a plan. But, you know, so it ends up being about $100 a month.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so that precludes me.
Maybe you could get the Google phone.
But that's what I want to talk about next.
The thing is, let's play some music. We'll come
back. You know, we're going to play maybe one of Todd's tunes. This actually was an original composition by Todd and his band, the Toddlingtons. Oh, no, we're not going to play that?
That's not ready yet.
That's not ready yet? Okay.
This is Frederick with 1986.
A bow and arrow twice. We hit me there. We hit the flame. The bow and fall tonight. The badger won. The badger moves to town. Thank you.
And now, Used Wigs Radio presents a word from Ultimate Washington Insider, Scott Schrake.
That's me.
Is this the Ultimate Washington Insider?
How about Sarah Palin in Scranton, Pennsylvania today?
What's up?
How about her? How about the job she did?
Hold it. I meant to call Scott Schrake Ultimate Washington Insider.
You got him. I'm in a deserted office right now, by the way, and I'm pacing. Can you hear the swishing sound of me pacing?
Of your corduroy pants swishing back and forth.
Because I ate one of them espresso brownies, and I'm a little shaky. Just to give you a little slice of my life.
Put it on Facebook. Anyway, go.
Yeah, status update. Scott is shaky. Oh, my God, Scott, what's the matter? Oh, my God.
Shaky ones too.
You're doing too many status updates. I can't stand it. Well, then ignore them, you know. You can always do that still. Facebook doesn't have a gun to your head making you read my status updates.
What do you want to talk about that I won't let you talk about?
Okay, we've all heard about how John McCain is walking it back and dialing it down and all that. Mm-hmm. So he's tried to put on this more avuncular, approachable kind of personality now because, you know, it was getting out of control with all the racist taunts and the kill him and all that stuff. So I saw a clip. And the point of the clip, the reason I was supposed to be watching it, was to show how he's interacting differently with the crowds now. So someone says something to him, and he goes, are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. They said something like mildly critical of him or something, and he laughs and he goes, well, excuse me.
Oh, no.
Dear. And no one noticed it except me. And I was like, oh, no. I cringed inside out.
His new wild and crazy guy. Was he wearing a white suit? Right. It's like he did an Austin Powers reference reply. You know, like that would have been better compared to Will Excuse.
She's a man, baby.
Right, right. He's all proud of himself. He's like, you know what? I'm going to zing him next with a couple lines from King Tut. That'll really show him where I'm coming from.
Yeah. He's bringing back.
He whips out the little arrow through his head and just kind of... Yeah. He's like, I got white hair, too.
Because it was my only moment that I'm the only one that noticed it, no one... I expected to see it kind of made a big deal out of on the liberal sites and all the, you know, like humor sites and everything. But I seem to be the only one that noticed it and cringed.
I would expect to see it in this giant, you know, the 84-point Helvetica type on Huffington Post. McCain does his best Steve Martin. Boo! And then, like, a whole commentary running it.
Wouldn't you love in the debate if Barack called him out about that? Well, he's so out of touch. He's quoting Steve Martin from the 70s. He hadn't watched TV since he watched SNL in the 1970s.
Come on, at least give us a sweat hog impersonation. He does kind of look like, remember Woodman from the Sweat Hogs? Welcome Back, Cotter, the vice principal Woodman. He was the little guy with white hair, big black eyebrows, angry all the time.
Real bossy? Yeah,
very bossy. He was micromanaging Gabe Kaplan, if you ask me.
I remember that.
Yeah, well, that's what he kind of reminds me of. Hey, all right, Washington Insider, can you leave us with any words here?
Well, excuse me for talking too long. How about that Steve Martin impression? How about it?
That's me. We'll be right back.
Goodness for you by the Dillinger Four. You can check them out. Go to fatwreckrecords.com and look for their new album on the homepage. And that was a jingle for the product. We're getting back to some... we have to talk about Halloween, too, quickly. And I'll just... Before we get to putty, real quickly, I always like to predict what people will be wearing. You know, every year you're like...
What will be the most popular costume?
Right. There's based on... You know,
Obama or McCain.
There you go. And that's what I'm talking about, Aaron. What... I mean, besides every dumb female friend of yours who's sitting home going, you know what? I'm going to be Sarah Palin.
My aunt has those glasses.
Right. So, of course, everybody's going to do it. And even, you know, the more clever dummies, they're still dummies, but they're just a little more clever. They're going to be Sarah Palin doing this, or Sarah Palin in this milieu.
Yeah, it'll be like Sarah Palin with like a bazooka and
there you go.
Sarah Palin on a desert island.
Exactly.
Right,
like,
on and
like
on.
A moose around her neck, like she just killed a moose.
Exactly.
With her head sticking out of an igloo. Like
that will be so funny.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I can't wait.
I could still get a laugh out of it. You know, sometimes cliches are funny.
Actually, I was discussing, and we discussed on a podcast, like, when is it, how much time needs to be passed when on lame costume that you can bring back... Now
and it would be funny.
It'd be ironic funny.
Yeah, like Spuds McKenzie.
That would be
or the Noid. The Noid would have been a terrible costume like in 1988 because it would be so cliche. But yeah, now
at the parade last year, someone was they were Devo. They had the full.
That would be cool.
That was a good
that
one.
Cool.
But you should be like a beat up Noid, like you know, like a heroin addicted Noid.
Right. Where's the Noid now?
Today, exactly. Exactly. The Noid today.
Or like Max Headroom. That would be a cool costume. Now, will you get dressed up, Aaron?
I do. Usually, I just decide at the last minute. I have a big bag of tricks, you know, yes, to pull from, and kind of the moment. But usually, my costumes border on tasteless to politically incorrect. You know, one year I was the anthrax postman, handing out mail that had been dusted with flour.
Uh-huh.
You know, things like that. That people either really think is funny or they never want to speak to me again. But I think that's what Halloween is.
That's a good way of reading it out.
Yeah, that's a good way to kind of streamline your friendships.
Exactly.
All right, Aaron, we got to get to your putty.
Yeah, speaking of holidays. Holidays we holding our hands.
Well, yeah, Halloween's going to be gone before you know it, and then of course the season begins.
The season that you're most jolly with, right?
That's right. The Thanksgiving Christian season. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you making Christmas putty is a little bit like Barbara Streisand coming out with a Christmas album, right?
You know, I tried making a Hanukkah putty one year, uh-huh. And
it didn't take off.
No, it didn't really have the same zing. You know,
it was like gelt flavored,
right? But the chocolate smell combined with the old person's pocket that it came out of.
So what do we got new for Christmas this year?
We're going to do new Christmas colors. You know, I've been in baby jail for a number of years, and I'm beginning to emerge, so there's going to be a lot happening. New Christmas colors. I'm thinking this one I'm holding here, maybe call it Silent Night.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of a deep midnight blue.
That is cool.
Maybe the one that Russ is holding, Snowfall or Snowflake.
See, I like this, the pure white putty like this.
But that's a sparkly white.
Got a lot of sparkles, actually the sparkles, if you're, you know, have a brighter light than our studio here, you'll see the sparkles are green and
this
red.
Stuff is so really?
And what about this? What will this be called?
Santa's suit.
Very nice.
So these are all unique. You haven't made these colors before.
I haven't made these colors before. Brand new. The old Christmas colors are gone for good.
Oh my God.
They've been retired.
Rid of the production.
But they just green and red.
You really are. You're like the Ben and Jerry's of putty. Like, you put flavors out there and then they go away.
They retire
and then they're
gone.
They get retired, yeah.
That's right. So,
have you ever made a putty for a company or a celebrity?
Mm-hmm. A celebrity?
Yeah, we do custom colors. I've never done anything for a celebrity, but we do custom colors for corporations. They'll give us a Pantone number, you know, and we'll go in the chip book and then we'll match it. And, make putty like that.
You go to puttyworld.com, puttyworld.com, not puddy, as some people would think.
Exactly.
Although that works too.
Oh, does?
I'm a big fan of the typo domain.
You really? You have that URL too?
Yeah, of course. And you know, Crazy Aaron with one A, Crazy Aaron with two R's, because people, you got to get them.
All right, music time.
All right, I believe we are doing a song by Todd.
This is the Black Kids with I Want to Be Your Limousine, and this comes from our friends at daytrotter.com.
Thank you.
the Black Kids, I Want to Be Your Limousine.
All right, people, we're going to do one of our favorite parts of the show called What Are You Watching on YouTube? Our favorite things that we kind of waste away the day while watching on YouTube. Russ, what are you watching?
Go to YouTube and type in Take On Me, literal video version. And basically, it's somebody, it is awesome. Somebody re-recorded the song with them narrating what's happening in the video. Like,
it's pretty
creepy
funny.
Comic book hand. it's really funny. Very worth watching. Yeah.
Todd.
I'd like you to type in The Hoolahees.
Ah.
The Hoolahees, because that's the band that Russ played guitar in and I painted for, and we were together for about 2 years. We just broke up. Informally, because the lead singer and frontman is moving to the West Coast, Arizona. But last show that we did, the final show, a fellow was there with a tripod and a camera, and he recorded about 3 or 4 songs and posted them, and they turned out really well. The Hoolahees.
Are there 4 songs? I thought there was only one.
No, there's at least 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So you'll see me paint live and Russ jam. He'll shred. And actually, Lisa and
yes,
Lisa
I'm
tap dances. Lisa tap dances is the one.
That's correct.
So you can see our percussionist, Lisa.
But I only can listen to one tap dance song.
Oh,
then listen
you only
to
have
that.
One
song. It's called Eggshells. That's like the big performance number.
All right, yeah. Do you watch YouTube? Do you know anything that's going on?
A little bit. I'm gonna use my guest powers and throw 2 at you.
Okay.
First is you can search for moon moving in front of Earth. There's a Japanese satellite that was looking back at the Earth when the moon crossed in front of the sunlit Earth.
Oh, wow.
And it is pretty awesome. I mean, you've seen it in the movies,
but this is
the real deal.
Wow.
These massive bodies are floating in space and doing their thing, and we are tiny little specks.
Nice.
Very cool.
We had to declare war on the moon. If we should.
Keeps up it's
that
coming.
Nonsense.
Just
it is
bomb
coming.
It. Just bomb the moon.
If it had oil, we would declare war on it.
And the second, I found or was given, someone was clearing out a basement, and they gave me a theremin. That had been built by a student at Swarthmore in the 70s.
Cool.
So I was trying to, I got it back in working order. It's got TV antennas coming out of it. And, trying to learn how to use it, I looked up on YouTube theremin videos. And there's all kinds of people playing different songs on the theremin. And, I spent my time studying their hand movements and got nowhere at all. So
I thought we were going to hear it. I'm opening for a band down in the city now, Aaron and his Theremin. That's my new band. I'm really good.
That's all right.
You can actually buy, they're all electronic, but you can buy an electronic theremin. They're only like $150 from like a music supply store now.
Right.
They're just and they have ins and outs like a guitar would. So now they've perfected it. But it used to be that you didn't download.
Right, you got the plans.
You got
from
the plans
someone.
And built
right.
one. Yeah,
that's so
yeah.
Weird.
This is made from parts that I guess were sold off from like the electrical engineering college, and then someone built this thing. I mean, the electrical components are glued to a wood block. It's real old school hardcore. So maybe one day I'll get it working or learn how to play.
I don't know the real theremin, but I go into the computer store and bargain basement video games. I got Theremin Star. It's really cool. It's like I'm playing a real one, and it's like push button instead of the real one.
Theremin Hero.
Theremin
I think
Hero.
was the punchline to that joke.
Once again, I don't know. Know these video games you speak of. I can't even talk about them correctly. But isn't there something, Star? No. Oh, well. All right, people. I think it's about time to get that energy back, and we'll do our shout-outs. So we're going to do some shouts.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Hooray!
Russ, do you have anything to shout right now?
I do. I'm actually going to shout out, speaking of the Comcast experience, the Please Touch Museum in Philadelphia just reopened at Memorial Hall, which was this fantastic building built for the 1876 World Fair, and they basically have renovated the whole thing, and it is, I don't even have kids, and it is an astounding experience.
Well, the structure itself has always been world class.
Exactly.
People talk about it in architectural journals and everything.
There you go. And they preserved what was important to preserve, and then the areas that had been run down was what they basically turned into this world-class museum. And there was a scale model that was done in 1876 of the entire fair, and they had that preserved in a gas chamber or whatever that it,
it's just in a glass box, so to speak.
But I think that it's a climate controlled.
Yeah, it's climate controlled. Yeah. They might have pressurized it with nitrogen
with
to preserve it.
But it's an amazing building. It's an amazing experience. Highly, highly recommend it. I don't think you can get in there if you don't have kids. But once you have them, take them.
Oh, you could you.
pay the money, I'm sure they'll let you.
I don't know, actually. I actually don't know about that because
I've been kicked out of the Smith Playground for not having kids, so it is possible.
I don't think that you can just go in there. I mean, we went
because then creepy guys might hang around there.
Creepy guys that look
exactly
like me.
It. I mean, we're actually really good friends with a bunch of people who work there. So we went to the family and friends pre-opening.
Oh, that's very cool.
Which is very cool, yeah.
Nice, you know, two interesting things about the exposition. One, the hand with the torch of the Statue of Liberty was there.
Yeah.
Right, to do the fundraising. And also the...
introduction of the banana.
The introduction of the banana to the Americas is key.
Yeah.
And the zoo balloon that Philadelphians see rising over 76, that site was where there was a hot air balloon to see the city of Philadelphia at the 1876 exposition. So, a little continuity there.
Okay, wow. Very cool.
Todd, what are you shouting at?
I just finished a great book. And Richard Bach, which is, are you familiar?
Stephen King's pseudonym? Bachman, that was Richard
Bach. Yeah, Richard Bach
Take
wrote...
Take it back.
The Siegel book.
Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah, did you read
that? Oh, yes.
Is that the same author you're talking
about? Yeah, but but the book that I read was called is called Illusions.
Oh.
And I stumbled upon it in Salvation Army. It cost me, I believe, 40 cents. And I got 49 to 50 cents worth of enjoyment. No, I loved it.
They sell books for 40 cents. I mean, why not just make it 2 quarters?
And I believe it really was some kind of odd denomination of change. And but the book really found me. And I really like to stumble upon books that way. Like, not seek out a book or buy it at a bookstore, but kind of find one that someone had left behind or discarded.
Summer Romances.
This book, I'm telling you, check this book out. It's really good. It's the Misadventures of a Reluctant Messiah.
Oh,
yes. So it's like this guy is potentially a messiah. He stumbles upon the Messiah Handbook, and it's really it has all the wisdom of theology without all like the terrible aftertaste of religion.
Oh, jeez.
Check it out.
That's
Illusions.
Good.
All right. Illusions.
Aaron, do you have anything to shout out?
I'll shout out a. Something I caught late night on Discovery HD, and which is available on a DVD. It's called Trinity and Beyond.
Hmm.
And this is a video about the atomic bomb,
which
Trinity was the test site for the first atomic bomb. And what makes this interesting is a couple things. First of all, a lot of the footage, which you've seen on countless PBS specials, is now in basically HD and cleaned up, which makes a big difference in your experience of it.
Right, right.
It's very sparsely narrated by William Shatner. Can't go wrong there. Very sparsely, as it should be. And it is kind of like a Kayana-Scotsi-esque movie. It just kind of plays clip after clip after clip. All the music is very apocalyptic and written and performed by a Russian orchestra.
Oof.
So it kind of connects the United States and the Soviet Union during the Cold War. And it's beautiful in a lot of ways, and also, I mean, the devastation and destruction of all of these nuclear tests on all over the Earth.
Right.
And it ends with the largest nuclear test that was ever detonated, Tsar Bomba.
Where was that?
That was in Siberia, where the bomb had to be heavily parachuted so that when it reached the altitude at which it would trigger, the plane would have had time to get, 100 and some miles away.
Jeez.
Because of it, so
did they go and revisit any of these test sites, like where they dropped the bomb in Siberia, like what it looks like now, or any of the?
No, this is all archival footage.
Oh, okay.
I think there is a follow up DVD that, or maybe it might be in special features. I mean, the United States government has spent a lot of money on the Pacific Islanders who were seriously affected by the testing. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's insane. I mean, it's Doctor Strangelove-esque, the whole thing where they do a high altitude burst, and of course there's an EMP where all electronics are destroyed in the blast radius going out for thousands of miles, and they didn't know that was going to happen. So surprise, you burned out all of the radios in Honolulu. And yet, we marched on, right? So it's very interesting. It's the kind of thing you just watch, and it's kind of like a glorious, horrible spectacle.
Yeah.
I'm so utterly depressed right now.
No, it's fantastic. You'll love it. Blowing stuff up. You can't go wrong.
Blowing stuff up is pretty cool.
Exactly.
As long as it's not people.
Bring us on home, Jeff.
Okay, guys, that was our...
Oh, don't you have a shout?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
A shout. Look at all this time to think of a shout.
I know, I have nothing.
Hey, lay off, okay? Sometimes I don't have shouts either.
He's had 53 chances.
Just because you're a guest, I'm not going to let you beat up on the host.
That's true. I will shout since... I don't like to talk about kids a lot and stuff like that, but...
But they're your whole life now.
They are. I mean, everything I do, it's revolved around, you know, obviously, kids when I'm home, that is. When I'm not at home, it's not. But I do enjoy, there's a lot of real crap kids watch, you know, TV shows. Caillou being one of them. Don't even know.
Worst TV show ever.
Don't let your kid, it's the whiniest little.
It teaches them bad behavior.
Character, it's just horrible. But there's some good ones. And Hey Gabba Gabba is, I love Hey Gabba.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
I can't talk tonight. I keep using the wrong words. Yo Gabba Gabba. Hey Gabba Gabba. Nothing.
Album available today now.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. There you go.
I like that song, Don't Bite Your Friends. See,
Don't
that's
bite
a
your
good
friends
lesson.
Is great. I sing all day long. Keep trying. Never give up. Keep trying. When I'm doing a horrible design for someone, I'm like, Jeff, keep trying.
But don't you think that guy's going to hate himself in 20 years?
Which guy? Oh, DJ Lance?
Yes.
I don't know. He's so cool. Everything about it is just cool. It's a good vibe, and it's a great show.
You said that about Footloose when it came out.
Everything about this is a great vibe.
Oh, God, it's true. I gotta go back. And also, Lil Bill is a good show. Lil Bill.
Excellent show.
As much as I don't like...
Is that Bill Cosby's project?
It's Bill Cosby, but it...
What?
It is a show.
And you like Bill Cosby?
I like Bill enough.
This is a very well thought
out
show.
Are you anti-Bill Cosby?
No, I just... That surprises me that Jeff would be, because he's a polarizing character.
He is, but
and he's very hypocritical in a lot of ways.
I listen to Bill Cosby. They're awesome. But this show, it goes against every kind of... really, like, hyper in your face, like, kids gotta do this, and this is how you'll be a good kid, like Dora and all these, Diego, they're super kids, you do the right things. Lil Bill, it's like you're listening to jazz, it's very mellow.
I put on the Lil Bill marathons, and I take a nap, and
it's
she'll
awesome.
Watch,
it's
fantastic.
Like, it's simple things that, like, a little kid and his cool little family would do. Hey, it snows. We built something in the snow. It's melting. Let's try to make the melting stop. We can't. That's cool. Everybody's cool about that. Nobody shakes. That's what we do when we're kids. We don't get too upset.
That's
not
right.
Not a lot of lessons learned. Who cares? It's just an
no flying on hang gliders and saving baby whales and all the nonsense.
It's just a mellow watch. So Little Bill, Yo Gabba Gabba, they're my two chefs. And
I'm glad you were able to come up with something.
Thanks, man. And Aaron encouraged me there. That was podcast.
The street continues.
That's true. Yeah. So let's recap quickly. Putty.
Yeah.
Photography called. What was it?
Stereo photography. With the Sputnik camera.
Sputnik camera. And new Christmas colors. So go to puttyworld.com. Go to usewigsradio.com.
And spell it any way you want.
That's right.
And Russ Stars. Goodbye, everyone.